Torah tells us here in Parshas Korach that Korach engaged in a very harsh machlokas with Moshe Rabbeinu. We know it's a very harsh machlokas because of the severity in which Ribono Shel Olam responds, a very, very harsh punishment that Korach v'Adaso are given. What is interesting is that we know this machlokas in Chazal in many ways serves as almost the paradigmatic machlokas of a machlokas shelo l'shem shamayim. Chazal tell us in Pirkei Avos when they describe describe different machlokasim, that we have Hillel and Shammai as machlokas l'shem shamayim, but the example of a machlokas shelo l'shem shamayim is the machlokas of Korach v'Adaso, that the intent seems to have been somewhat off. Chazal go further in the Gemara Maseches Sanhedrin. This is paskened, it is quoted by the Smag and the Smak in their minion of Taryag and their list of 613 mitzvos, that we actually learn from Korach, lo take Korach v'Adaso. We learn from Korach that a person in general should try their best to avoid machlokas. Korach is someone who appears to have sinned. Korach is a person who started the machlokas, and we use that as a model of unhealthy machlokas. We use it as a model of the kind of machlokas that a person should avoid. That kind of questioning and challenging is one that's deemed to be inappropriate. And in that sense, it's important to understand a little bit, what was it about Korach v'Adaso? What caused Korach to challenge Moshe Rabbeinu? What exactly motivated him? What exactly led him to take on Moshe and Aharon? What was behind it? And maybe then we could understand a little bit better why it serves in many ways as that paradigmatic machlokas, as that example of a debate which is perceived as being unhealthy and inappropriate. The first mahalach in terms of what motivated Korach is one that's highlighted by some of the Rishonim. Rashi has it a bit in his Peirush HaTorah, the Ebn Ezra has in the beginning of Parshas Korach, and that is that Korach appears to have been somewhat jealous. Korach was passed over for certain jobs. Korach had aspired to, Korach had wanted to be able to worship Hashem at a certain level, and he was passed over. And Korach responded with a certain kind of jealousy. The Ebn Ezra writes that the machlokes of Korach v'Adaso, Zehadavar Hayab Midbar Sinai, Kashin Eschalfu Abachorim V'Nivdalu Halavim. That what got Korach worked up a little bit was when the Bechoros were not going to be worshipping anymore, the firstborn sons, and the Levim suddenly got to Shevet Levi, and then the Kohanim are going to become primary, and Shevet Levi is going to be secondary. And then Korach got somewhat jealous, Korach was upset, and he started a certain kind of machlokas. The Kedushas Levi, Levi Yitzchak Miberditchev, adds in a bit of a knage. Korach in Torah Sechassidus is not perceived as someone who is of a very low spiritual level. The opposite is the case. Korach is perceived as someone of a very high spiritual level. Korach is perceived as someone that does have religious ambitions and that is trying to worship Hashem in a somewhat elevated way. What was motivating Korach, says the Kedushas Levi, is that while there are some tzaddikim whose primary goal is that there be nachas ruach kivyachal of neidri bonash olam, that there are certain people who have the aspiration that God be worshipped. Part of the fault of Korach was that Korach believed that he had to be the one that was always going to do it. It wasn't about what's best for Ribono Shel Olam. It was, I need to be the one. Vayikach Korach. It was a certain kind of self-centered worship that Korach was involved in, where he always needed to be the one that was there. And that was really the problem, so suggests the Kedushas Levi. The first Mahalach, that part of the sin of Korach was that Korach was a person who suffered from a bit of jealousy, be that a jealousy that was petty, or maybe a jealousy that stemmed from a certain desire for Kedusha. But in that case, we understand maybe one idea as to why the machlokas of Korach v'Adaso becomes that kind of a machlokas, that model for unhealthy machlokas, because many machlokas really do stem from that underlying midah of jealousy. There is a second idea. It's one that's a little bit more popular in Torah Sachasidas. The Mevaser Tov, the Bial Rebbe, wrote a sefer called Maimer Yehudi HaKadosh. It's all about the Yid HaKadosh, and he writes there, it's on page Reish Pei 280. He writes that the sin of Korach in the Sfarim HaKadoshim, it's written that Gam Kasu B'Sfarim HaKadoshim, the Ushal Korach Haisa, Af Shebe'emes HaYagadol Me'od. Korach was an elevated person. Korach was a big Jew. So where is Korach's fault? Where did Korach mess up? Says the Mivaser Tov in the name of the Sfarim HaKadoshim, that again, a very Hasidic idea, that sometimes when you worship Ribono Shel Olam, in Torah Sechassidus, especially again certain segments of it, there's not as much of a direct relationship between the person worshipping Hashem and Hashem himself. Sometimes the tzaddik serves as that middle role. The tzaddik serves as the conduit, the person, the middleman between the Ribono Shel Olam and us. And Korach's mistake was that Korach failed to appreciate that the Ribono Shel Olam chose Moshe Rabbeinu as the tzaddik. And that Korach thought, I don't need Moshe Rabbeinu, I can do it directly. And he failed to appreciate how much was really dependent on the hashpa'ah, how much was really dependent on the effect of a Moshe Rabbeinu being there. Interestingly enough, the Mevaser Tov uses this as an opportunity to speak about, in general, the role of a tzaddik. And he points out something interesting from here. That sometimes who's considered to be the tzaddik, who's considered to be the Rebbe, and who's considered to be the Talmud, and who's dependent on who, is not always based on Torah expertise. Sometimes there are a yachid bedorah, there are people who are unique, and they have a certain kind of piety, and they are almost chosen by the Ribbono Shel Olam to serve as that conduit. And therefore writes the Mevaser Tov, that you have examples of tzaddikim, who may have been bigger tamidei chachamim than their Rebbe, and nevertheless they continued to go there, even though, again, they did have a certain kind of expertise. He writes as an example that the Magid of Kuznets, the Kuznets or Magid, used to go to his Rebbe, the Noam Alimelech, Hagam shu gadol mimenu b'shasu v'posim, chachmas ha-kabbalah. Even though maybe the Kuznets or Magid was a bigger Talmud Chacham, he had more Torah knowledge, he still decided that he was going to go to his Rebbe because he understood this idea, again, more of an idea in Torah Sachasidus, to go to someone sometimes, even though you may be somewhat greater, even though you may be a bigger Talmud Chacham, there's still enormous value in connecting on some level to that tzaddik. So the first idea is one about the source of machlokas, the machlokas being one of jealousy. The second in Torah Sachasidus is to look at Korach as someone who failed to understand the role of a tzaddik. He failed to understand where he was at, and even though he thought he was great, he did not understand as much the significance of a Moshe Rabbeinu. I once saw a third idea about what motivated Korach. It is an exceptionally beautiful one from one of the Mashgichim in Yeshivas Ner Yisrael. He suggested the following insight. I'll frame it, but with a bit of a different question. If Korach was really, as understood in Chassidus Sfarim, if Korach really was a person who was somewhat elevated, if Korach really is a person who was incredibly impressive, why is it that he was passed over? Why wasn't he chosen? Why wasn't Korach the person who would be given those opportunities to really worship in Beis HaMikdash, those opportunities to be a leader in Klal Yisrael? Why wasn't he chosen if he really was, in fact, so great? So the suggestion offered, which again is such a beautiful one, is that Korach's real job was to teach Klal Yisrael an incredibly important lesson. And his failure to appreciate that lesson is what caused him to start such a terrible machlokas with Moshe Rabbeinu. Korach's job in this world was to teach Klal Yisrael how you worship Ribbono Shel Olam when someone else is chosen instead of you. When someone else is chosen as being the leader, even though maybe you believe that you are worthy, Korach was there and he was supposed to teach Klal Yisrael how you can still worship Hashem and what role you can play when you aren't given the opportunities of leadership. When you aren't chosen for the job, so how can you worship Hashem when you are passed over? That's a very difficult avoda, and that was one that Korach was supposed to teach us. The mistake of Korach was Korach thought, because I wasn't chosen, it means that there's something wrong with me. It means that there's a problem. And Korach said, no, but I really am worthy. And therefore he thought the only thing he could do was to fight his way to positions of leadership. But sometimes it's not every person's role. And sometimes it's not every person's job. And sometimes in life there are people that get passed over for things. And part of the message that Korach was supposed to teach us was that even if we get passed over, even if sometimes we don't have that position, it doesn't mean that there's something wrong with us. And we can still be great. And sometimes we can worship Hashem not from a close of, not from proximity, not from being there in the Beis HaMikdash, but I can worship the Ribbono Shel Olam from a little bit out there. I can worship Ribbono Shel Olam even when I'm passed over. Korach's machlokas is the machlokas which is perceived in Chazal as the paradigmatic machlokas. It's the machlokas, shelo l'shem shamayim. It's an unhealthy debate, and that's why he's punished in such a severe way. What generated that machlokas? For many of the Rishonim, it seems to have stemmed a bit from that midah of jealousy. For others, Mevaser Tov, it's a question of recognizing the role of the tzaddik. And the third idea, a very beautiful and powerful one, is about understanding that Korach failed to appreciate how a person can worship Ribbono Shel Olam not only when they are chosen, but also when they aren't chosen. And that was the message Korach was supposed to teach us. And sometimes that serves as a bit of a source of machlokas. The feeling of, why does he get it and not me? I deserve it. And sometimes it's important to recognize that even though maybe you do deserve it on some level, sometimes it's our avoda to learn how to worship Hashem not only from proximity, but also to be able to worship from a distance. Thank you very much.